It's Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 256 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Now, I got to tell you, because some people ask where I record this, and it's not a studio podcast. I just do it in my office at home with my iMac and a nice microphone. So that's why you hear background noise and you hear my chair squeak and all of that. But I got to tell you, tonight I have been listening to an album called Trilogy by Chick Corea. It's the Chick Corea Trio Live. And, you know, jazz, I mean, you guys know I love jazz, but this is truly what, if you want to get the vibe of jazz, you know, you can say you got to smoke weed or, you know, the hipsters now, it's got to be on vinyl and all of that. You don't need all that crap, man. Just get a record like this. Listen to Trilogy and listen to the absolute mastery of the piano or listening to the Christian McBride on the bass. And just, it's just a vibe, man. It's really cool. And man, I ain't gonna lie to you. I needed it. It was just relaxing and just present. And it's the thing I love about jazz and jazz artists is the mastery of their instruments. It is truly amazing. And it's just something to check out. Now, let's go in the other direction. Houses. As some of you know, I am house challenged. And what I mean by that is when it comes to fixing things around the house, I'm not baffled. I'm not helpless. I know how to use tools. It's almost like I'm fascinated with how poorly things are built and designed. Now, as many of you know, I was an airplane mechanic, licensed, worked on aircraft for 10 years, trained people for 3 years. I can do the plumbing on a DC-10 just fine. The plumbing on a household toilet is unbelievable. First of all, it's made of plastic. Plastic. Why? Why? You can't use metal tools on plastic. I have this problem, like I had to replace the handle on a toilet, the way the whole thing operates, like I'm used to a moving handle having a bearing inside somewhere so it would rotate on a bearing and et cetera, et cetera. And this just, sorry about that. My phone sounds like a motorcycle. It's just funny to me how poorly this is built. Yeah, try and tighten up a plastic nut against a porcelain. It's crap. So I did it, but I'm going to let the handyman come check it out. I got a friend who does this stuff and he likes it. You know, he's good at it. So I'm going to have him come double check my work and do the other two toilets. It's just funny to me. Like I say, I can do it. Some of it I don't know. I don't know anything about carpentry or drywall or any of that. I don't know how to do any of that. But, you know, mechanical things, I know how to use tools. I know how to tighten nuts and bolts and things. It's just fascinating to me how poorly this stuff is built. So, all right. So that's my life today. But now, let's get into this. You know, I don't like doing my whole podcast about Trump. Now, some people say, "Oh man, all you comics talk about is Trump." Blah blah blah. And I'm gonna go into that because there actually is an article I want to talk about this week. That is exactly that, talking about Trump and comedians and comedy. But what's happening now, what happened in this past week, goes beyond comedy. I'm gonna use the words of Bill Weld. Bill Weld is one of those Republican candidates that wants to challenge Trump, won't be able to because certain states are not having primaries, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you know, unless you've been under a rock, you know the backstory. So a whistleblower, someone works in intelligence, overheard Trump try to make a deal or make a promise or make something. We still don't know exactly what the whistleblower heard, but they heard something totally inappropriate. So they filled out the form. They complained to the National Security Agency about what Trump said. The agency wouldn't tell Congress what it is, but now, you know, Trump is best. All you have to do is wait. He's like a dumb criminal, right? You just wait and he'll tell on himself. So now we're pretty sure that he tried to make a deal with the president of Ukraine, whether it be offering financial aid or military aid, for the president of the Ukraine to start an investigation or continue an investigation or somehow investigate Joe Biden, as this old rumor about Biden and Ukraine. I'm not going to go into that because it's just another one of these conspiracy stories. And it's not the point. The point isn't that. The point is the sitting president of the United States went to a foreign leader and asked him to investigate, to aid in the destruction of, to go against an American citizen, not just an American citizen, but an American citizen who's running for president. Now now I'm going to get to what Bill Weld said. Bill Weld said that Bill Weld accuses Donald Trump of treason for pressing Ukraine's president to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden, and stated bluntly, the penalty for treason under the U.S. Code is death. Whoa. Like, that's real. Like, you know, back in the old days during war, like treason, high treason, you hung. They'd hang you for this. This is more serious than Trump's stupidity, right? This isn't, you know, drawing on a map, a weather map, or giving a speech and saying that the wall is built with the just great cement. Oh, it's great cement. It's the greatest cement ever used, and you can't climb the wall, but you can go around it. That's just stupidity. But this is a crime. This is a crime. This is treason. Giuliani said that they approached Ukraine to do this on behalf of the U.S. government, not as a criminal investigation, but to aid Donald Trump. Trump is saying that what he said, and it's really a tough one. He said, would I be dumb enough to talk about this on a call knowing people are listening? And it's like, yeah, it's almost like a double negative. Like, is he dumb enough to do something dumb? Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anyone has any trouble believing that. So this is real. This is serious. This, you know, okay, here's the thing. This is what I'm going to use as to compare it to. I don't know if you ever saw a movie. It was a really good movie. It was called A Time for a Kill. And it was Sam Jackson and Matthew McConaughey. Samuel Jackson in the movie had a daughter who was raped and killed. Not raped, not killed, but she was raped by these hillbillies. So in the courtroom, he shot the hillbillies who were accused of it and killed it. Now he's on trial for murder. Matthew McConaughey is a lawyer, and this is in Mississippi in the South with everything, you know, Klan and all of that shit. Really good movie. But anyway, the climactic scene, Matthew McConaughey describes what's done to the little girl, how the little girl was beaten, raped, urinated on. And he's the jury, all white jury in Mississippi. But he says, now imagine she was white. And it goes crazy, and then he's found not guilty. Well, okay, so a sitting president approaches the president of the Ukraine to try to make a deal to get information, dirt, whatever you have, on one of his opponents. Imagine if that president were Obama, right? I mean, Fox News would be losing their minds. Mitch McConnell would be, the impeachment hearing with the criminal hearings would start so fast, you wouldn't know what hit. See, all of these people, and these right-wingers, these Fox News people, the Senate of the United, all of these constitutional, we want the Second Amendment so we can have our AK-47s and we, you know, Constitution this and Constitution that, right? All of that stuff is going out the window. You know, Mitch McConnell saying, don't call me Moscow Mitch. No, you are Moscow Mitch, okay? All this bullshit about Supreme Court justices and how Barack Obama couldn't pick a justice because it was his final year and all of that goes out the window. This is a sitting president who has approached a foreign leader against a U.S. citizen. That is treason. It's not just impeachment, it's a crime. It's time for Nancy Pelosi to step up. You have to start the impeachment hearings. You have to start the impeachment investigation, even if it's not done, and it should be done. I mean, Clinton was impeached over a blowjob. Granted, he didn't lose his office, but he was impeached. You know, that under this current system we have, under the Republicans are so much, so far, so deep into Trump's cult of personality and into the party before nation that Watergate, under today's media and today's Senate, Watergate would have been a bad weekend for Nixon. It would have been a few points off of his, you know, popularity score. I mean, think about it. These are the same Republicans who think who thought that Kaepernick should be hanged, right? For kneeling during the anthem. They couldn't punish Kaepernick enough. Any punishment they were fine with. They were Nike's anti-American company. Really? Nike's anti-American? This is literally anti-American. This is literally going to a foreign country to attack an American. This is real and it's serious, and I don't know how it's going to play out. Now it's Monday night. Tomorrow Trump's going to give his speech at the UN, and we already know it's either he's going to stay right on prompter, giving him a mild speech of what he's been told to say, or more likely, he's going to go into his nonsense about how he's the greatest president ever and he's gotten more done. Last time he did that, the UN laughed at him. He's going to ignore climate change, even though that's what this particular UN General Assembly meeting is about. He's going to ignore it, and he's going to, you know, It'll be a stupid speech, but that's not what's important. This is important. This is a big one. Listen, they gloss over everything Trump does. They gloss over his lies about 9/11, and they gloss over the criminal accusations, whether it be the fake college or all the money being spent at his golf resorts. We still haven't, you know, that's gone now. That's gone now. Right. See, it's always one scandal into the other. So we're not talking about that. And that's criminal. That's criminal for the president to send the Air Force and the vice president and so forth to his hotel so he can personally profit from it and to not divest from his interests so that foreign nationals can supposedly spend money at his hotels, but actually funnel money into his pocket. All of that's illegal. But this is treason. This is treason, high treason. The penalty is death. It won't be. I'm predicting there'll be no penalty at all, but wouldn't it be nice if this was what, you know, if they stepped up. This is on the Senate. This is the House needs to start it, but the Senate needs to finish it. And Ms. Pelosi, I've done my best to support you. You know, I do the Young Turks. The progressives can't stand you. I understand why, but I'm trying to stand for uniting the Democratic Party. But if you can't step up now, I really can't say anything for you. If you can't, no, they're not going to impeach, but you need to go on record as starting the impeachment hearings. Now, okay, Trump the clown. I read an interesting editorial written by Paul Slansky, who wrote a book called The Clothes Have No Emperor. And his premise is that Donald Trump has been a cosmic gift to comedy. His lies, lames, excuses, etc. provides fodder for hilarity. He talks about late night shows, Stephen Colbert. He talks about the internet, etc. You know, can anyone make up anything funnier than his traipsing up the airplane steps with toilet paper stuck to his shoe? You have to see Wanda Sykes' Netflix special and see her joke about that, because Wanda's next level, brilliant. So please, do yourself a favor, watch Wanda's Netflix special. Anyway, he talks about all of these things. Trump claims expertise on subjects he knows nothing about, like whether it be ISIS or weather or whatever. And then he talks about most presidents have developed tough enough skin in their time in politics to pretend to shrug off humor at their expense. Trump's skin makes paper seem thick. Nothing he hates more than being mocked, ridiculed, is his kryptonite. And he says, the surest way to beat Donald Trump is to get voters laughing at him. See, I don't agree. Voters have been laughing. People have been laughing at Donald Trump forever. His whole life, his whole public life has been a joke. He has a way of disconnecting that I'm not a psychologist. I'm sure there's a name for it, but nothing is ever his fault. And when you make fun of him, he deflects it, or it's fake news. Or, like I said, when the UN laughed at him, and we all watched the UN laugh at him, it took him a couple of days to figure out the spin, and then it came back, they were laughing with me. You know, I don't think this is a strategy for the Democrats to take. Also, they're not funny. I don't think they could deliver a joke. Yeah, I don't think the way to run for president is making fun of this candidate. Now, I do think that, and there's not much I disagree with Michelle Obama on, but I do disagree with when they go low, we go high. No, when they go low, you go low. Just call him what he is. You know, and when he lies, call it a lie. Don't call it a misspoke or a mistruth. Don't try call it a lie. Say he lied about A, B, C, or D. We actually don't have enough letters in the alphabet for all the lies. But do that. Show where he was incompetent. Show his the horrible ability to talk to foreign nations. Show that now you can show how nonsensical some of the speeches are. I mean, this whole thing about the wall being built out of the great cement is hilarious. But I don't think that this is going to work because there's a cult of personality around Trump and his followers and a lot of the media. If you make fun of him, they turn that around they turn the attack around. They spin it. You're not going to change the minds of any Trump voters. Let them go. Go after people who don't vote. I think they said that if they could get a 65% turnout in the election in 2020, Trump would be trounced. Go for that voter turnout. And yeah, that's what the Democrats need to do. I don't think you're going to clown Trump out of office. Yes, he's thin-skinned. Oh, he hates being criticized and he hates being laughed at even more. But that's not going to get him out of office. My opinion. Hey, the guy who wrote the editorial has opinion. I have an opinion. Now I'm going to go into something different because this is something that I find interesting. It came up on the other podcast I do, on the Fear Not podcast, and it's the non-binary pronouns. It's people who want to be identified as they or them rather than he or she. I not only agree with their right for this, I respect it. I have tremendous respect for it because it takes a lot of courage to identify yourself outside the so-called normal, you know? So if you feel for your reason, see, you don't have to explain to me. You don't have to explain to us. If you want to be referred to as they or them, I will do my best to do that. I will always respect it and try. There may be times I forget, but it makes sense. And you know, grammar specialists have gone over how we have used they and them as a singular pronoun in other situations. I'm not going to go into the grammar. You can look it up because I don't think the grammar is important. I think what's important is the respect of people's wishes and the respect I have for someone to define who they are. It took me a long time to figure out who I am. I'm still figuring out who I am. There are still times when, you know, I will adjust for a situation. And I know early in life, especially in my 20s, I was an idiot. I was an idiot. I was on drugs. That helps being an idiot. But even after I started recovery, I got sober when I was 26. It still took a long time for me to figure out what was going on and to have the confidence I'm super confident on stage. It's the most comfortable place in the world for me. I love being on stage and I can talk about anything and be anything. But when I'm off stage, I can still be introverted. I can be shy, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not a lot of fun at parties. I'm sorry, unless I'm really comfortable. Not a lot of fun at parties, but I'm good with a microphone. But To people who know who they are and want to be defined in a certain way, I respect that. Now, in Historically Incorrect, my comedy special, available for download on Amazon Prime. Why do I keep saying Historically Incorrect? I keep jumping back a special. I'm my worst publicist. Heavy Lightweight on Amazon Prime. Heavy Lightweight. I talk about people wanting the second Q, right? And, you know, the, instead of lesbian, gay, bisexual, queer, whatever, transsexual, then people want a second Q for question. And I joke about the question and, you know, my answer to the question. You got to watch the special for the joke. Nah, I'll tell you the joke. Say they want a question. Well, my answer is no. There is no question. I don't judge. I don't care who puts what where into who. But the moment it goes in, your question has been answered. That's the joke. It's funnier on a special. Context. Context always helps. But this isn't that. This is people wanting to be identified a certain way. And I have the utmost respect for it. And to me, it takes courage. It takes courage. So, you know, bear with us. Give us time to get used to the term. Give us time to, but I think if someone asks you to call them they, if they ask you to use the pronoun them, then you should respect that. I'm certainly going to try to. Finally, and I just don't want to go into a whole bunch of stories on this podcast because I think the treason is, you know, enough. That I want to see how this plays out. Unfortunately, I strongly suspect it won't be impeachment, but I'd love to see it. But anyway, on my other podcast, Fear Not, we do a thing called a Florida Man. And you know why. Because we've been seeing some crazy come out of Florida. Unprecedented. You can't match it. Well, how about a Florida woman? Now, you know, in the special, in Heavy Lightweight, I said that as a comedian, my job's never been harder because my job as a comedian is to create a reality funnier than the reality we live in. And that is impossible. Why is that impossible? Because, quoting a news story, a woman bit a camel's testicles at a Louisiana truck stop petting zoo. I didn't know Louisiana truck stops had petting zoos, but you're certainly not supposed to be biting a camel in the balls. Okay? There's rules. She was cited for criminal trespassing. I imagine the camel would have liked more charges. Yes. A Florida woman, and that's why. She said, for some reason, she's chasing her dog. She crawled into the camel's enclosure, and the camel sat on her. And then she said, quote, I bit his balls to get him off me. I bit his testicles to get him off me. Well, maybe you get points for quick thinking. Where was the dog? Where was the dog? I'd love to know where. A woman bit a camel on the balls and got arrested for it. I can't make up anything funnier than that. I think we got a pretty damn good closer for the podcast. Sports, I always talk about sports. Antonio Brown, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if he's going to play in the NFL again. Sexual harassment charges. The Patriots dropped him. First, the Raiders dropped him. Patriots played him one game. Then they dropped him. Now he's saying, well, what about Roethlisberger, who was charged, you know, with sexual harassment, a rape charge. And Robert Kraft, who was, you know, caught on tape getting hand jobs at a massage parlor. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Antonio Brown. If you're a football fan, if you're a sports fan, if you want to see a great game, find the UCLA-Washington State game from this past Saturday night. I believe it was the 22nd. The final score was 67-63. It was the most amazing football game I've ever seen. Go watch that. And if you're driving through Louisiana and your dog gets away from you and it runs into a petting zoo at a truck stop, which is at the truck stop for who knows what reason, don't go in the camel and closure. Because, see, once you bite a camel on the balls, that stays with you. At no point can this woman lay with a man and say, I don't do that. Whatever that man asks, she's not allowed to say, I don't do that, because she bit a camel on the balls. Sir, you may not want her to bite you on the balls, but you might have a little, you know, creative camel play. I don't judge. I don't judge. This has been the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Also, like I said, check out Fear Not. Check out the other podcasts I do with Barry Glassner about what people fear, what they should fear, what we shouldn't fear. It's really good, and it's a lot of fun, and that one's doing well. And all the All Things Comedy podcast, check them out. Check out the other podcasts on this network. Brilliant comics doing really funny, smart, clever, and creative things. My live stuff, I'm going to be around LA for the next couple of weeks, popping up at the Laugh Factory and the Improv. And my next road gig, October 10th through 11th through 14th, I'm going to be in Denver at the Denver Improv, which is great. So I'll see you out there. Who's paying attention? You are. Treason, ladies and gentlemen. High treason. The penalty is death. We're not looking for death. Just get rid of him.